Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. From the front page of the commercial news, the first story today is titled Thomason Remembered. Danville Fire Police Honor Former Director. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Following the passing of former Danville community leader and policeman Larry Thomason, the community remembers who he was to them. Current Danville Police Department Chief Christopher Yates shared his connection to Thomason. Yates said Thomason's service to the DPD for 33 years and his service to the community for nearly 50 years made an impact on his service. He recalled a time he disagreed with Thomason, but later realized Thomason was right. Several years later, I realized that I was incorrect and felt obligated to call him, even though he was retired, Yates wrote. I needed to thank him for putting his foot down and sticking to what he knew to be right. He didn't gloat. He showed me humility and respect. John Dossey, a Danville High School graduate and a friend of Thomason's son, Jay, described how the former officer's impact on his life led him to a career in law enforcement and public service. His son, Jay, and I would go fishing, and his dad would often tag along, Dossie said about his connection. And we would talk, and just talk about being a policeman and things like that. He kind of led me down that path, and I ended up going, getting my degree, ultimately ended up being the police chief over in Pekin. Dossie served as Pekin's police chief for over 8 years and began serving as the city manager in 2023. Dossie added that Thomason had a way of patiently leading people. That was kind of the push I needed, Dossie said about Thomason pushing him towards a career in law enforcement. It's the people that influence you in your lives at that young age that drive you to that. Just a simple conversation while we were fishing, of all things, and you know, got me looking at that as a career field, and that's where I ended up. I certainly didn't anticipate that I'd be a city manager at some point in time. Dossie recalled playing baseball as a child and said Thomason was involved. He was always there in the dugout, you know, kind of mentoring and everything, Dossie said. As long as I knew him, he was always involved in the community in some aspect outside of just law enforcement and everything. Thomason is also credited with being a vital part of the Danville Post 210 baseball program. The Danville Fire Department shared their condolences. Thomason served in the past as their Director of Public Safety. Larry's decades of service left a lasting impact on the city of Danville. His legacy continues through the policies he helped establish, the personnel he mentored, and the countless lives he influenced throughout his career, DFD shared in a local media post. We remember Larry not only as a strong and capable leader, but also as a colleague who valued teamwork, respect, and compassion. Thomason was instrumental in installing Friendly Town and served as the American Legion Post 210 commander for 3 consecutive terms. He was heavily involved with 3 Kings of Peace and taught at Danville Area Community College. Next, from the front page, we have City Considers Honorary Street Naming Policy. This is also by Christy Jankowski. Danville. The Danville City Council will decide Tuesday evening whether to approve an ordinance governing honorary street names. The council will also hold hearings on the 2025 proposed tax levy and the 2026-2027 2027 proposed budget. During the Public Works meeting on Wednesday, there was discussion on how to move forward with a street renaming ordinance following a citizen's request for the past several months. Logan Kronk, the Community Development Administrator, led the discussion with his findings on municipalities in the state. He said there would be an initial $450 cost for applicants wanting an honorary street name, and the cost would weed out those who are not serious. Instead of just receiving a dozen street names, the applicant is going to actually be serious at that price point, Kronk said. I tried to find a midpoint that realistically I thought that an applicant would take very seriously when applying for this. Because this is an administrative burden, and we don't just want petitions to be rolling in nonstop for honorary street names. So I found a midpoint, or average, from all municipalities. That is for the council to decide whether the $450 is part of it or not. Alderman Ed Butler spoke out against the cost. We have our people paying taxes on whatever, you know, like sewer fees. To put another taxation on them for the sign, and then plus, I read down here it is non-refundable? What if he paid for the application and they just rejected it? There is nothing in this ordinance that says you won't get your money back, or will, Butler said. Kronk went on to say it should be viewed in a similar circumstance to a zoning petition, which costs $200. There is the administrative burden of processing these applications, Kronk stated. And a part of this is going to be mailers to the neighbors. We are going to be prepping the agenda packet, and there are going to be several hours by multiple people just for the application. That is trying to free up the other tax dollars that you are referring to. All the other residences are paying for it. It just puts the burden on the person making the city of Danville do the work. Applicants would also be responsible for the cost of the sign, as well as labor to install the sign. There was also a discussion on adding language so that the current existing honorary street names would stay. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said, "Those are grandfathered in by ordinance, so we would have to come up with an amendment to change the ordinance." However, Williams did agree with Kronk and others that adding language strengthens the existing honorary names. "I do think that you are right. We should add a clause that this will not impact any honorary existing names by the council." There was a discussion from Butler about a citizen who has come before the board numerous times to change her street name to honor her grandchild. The ordinance moved forward with a vote of 2 yes and 3 no, and will be discussed and voted on Tuesday evening with the added recommendations. A solar zoning ordinance will also be voted on Tuesday evening. We cannot regulate building on solar sites. It's unfortunate, but we discovered under state statute it is not something the city of Danville can do, Kronk said. 150 feet setbacks from houses that will remain, we can still regulate that. We just cannot tell them what kind of concrete to put their post in. The city's TIF district has brought in more money than originally anticipated. The city budgeted for an expense account of $105,000. Actual received was $209,000, so it is performing astronomically better than what we saw well past inflation, Kronk said. Williams added, "This is a great project. I don't know if you all have seen some of the progress that they've done already, but it's going to be good. And another thing that I really love is that it helps bring locals here more permanently. And our final front page item today is titled Indiana State Senator Good Gets Swatted. This is by Mark Fitton from CNHI News Indiana. Terre Haute. Someone swatted or made a false report of an emergency involving the home of Indiana State Senator Greg Good, Republican from Terre Haute, on Sunday. The Vigo County Sheriff's Office said an email was sent about 5 p.m. to the Terre Haute Police Department advising police that harm had been done to people inside a home in southern Vigo County, which turned out to be the home of the state senator. Sheriff's deputies responded to the home, and initial attempts to raise anyone at the residence were not successful. Ultimately, contact was made with those inside. Everyone was safe and unharmed, according to the sheriff's office. Investigations showed that this was a prank or false email, a tactic also known as swatting. Sheriff Derek Fell wrote in a news release, said the sheriff, "A false or prank call of this nature will never be acceptable. Not only do calls like this waste and reduce resources of deputies serving and protecting other parts of our county, they have a negative impact on the victim and their families as well. Our office, along with federal authorities, will investigate this incident with every intention of discovering who is responsible." Good released a statement via email. It read, "This evening, my family and I were victims of a swatting incident during which a fake communication was sent to local law enforcement officials. Vigo County Sheriff's deputies responded to the incident under the impression of a domestic violence emergency. The deputies professionally fulfilled their duty. While this entire incident is unfortunate and reflective of the volatile nature of our current political environment, I give thanks to God that my family and I are okay. I want to thank Vigo County Sheriff Derek Fell, Terre Haute Police Chief Kevin Barrett, and the first responders who serve our county and community with bravery and professionalism." Good is the state senator from the 38th District, which includes Vigo and Clay counties and a portion of Sullivan County. Earlier in the weekend, he was the recipient of negative attention from President Donald Trump via a Truth Social post by the president. The Republican president was critical of GOP Indiana state lawmakers naming Good and Senator Roderick Bray of Martinsville, President Pro Tem of the Senate, for the Senate's not coming into session to conduct mid-decade congressional redistricting, as was the wish of the president and Republican Governor Mike Braun. Good had not publicly taken a position on the redistricting issue and said he would not do so until there was a specific plan placed before the Senate. After the Truth Social post, the senator said he respectfully stood by that earlier statement. And that wraps up the front page stories for today. Now we're going to turn to the obituaries for this Tuesday. And the first today is for Betty J. Hughes. Betty Jean Hughes, age 90. Peacefully departed this life on October 29, 2025. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, November 22nd, 12 p.m. at Overcoming Church, 2203 Columbia Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46205. William Bill A. Gernand. William A. Jernand, 94, of Danville, passed away at 6:40 a.m. on Wednesday, November 12th, at Hawthorne Inn of Danville. He was born December 20th, 1930, in Chicago, Illinois. A service to celebrate the life of Bill Jernand will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, November 21st, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Pastor Kent Tibben will officiate. Burial will be at Mann's Chapel Cemetery following the services. A visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, November 20th, also at Sunset in Danville. Memorials in Bill's name may be made to Trinity Lutheran Church in Danville. Larry J. Thomason. Larry J. Thomason, 78, of Danville, passed away at his home early morning Friday, November 14th, in the comfort of his family. A service to celebrate the life of Larry J. Thomason will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, November 20th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Pastor Robbie Ketcherside will officiate. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville, with military honors to be conducted by American Legion Post 210. A visitation will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, November 19th, also at Sunset in Danville. Masonic rites will be conducted by Olive Branch Lodge 38 at 4:45 p.m. prior to visitation. In lieu of flowers, memorials in Larry's name may be made to the American Cancer Society, P.O. Box 6704, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, or to Crossroads Christian Church, 3613 North Vermilion Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Judith Ann Eli Johnson. Judith Ann Eli Johnson, 77, of Bismarck, Illinois, passed away at 8 p.m. on November 14th at Goldwater Care in Danville, with her family by her side. A celebration of life will be held on Friday, November 21st, at 2 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Miles Clark will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. A visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, November 20th, at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that memorials be made to Bismarck Blessings, P.O. Box 354, Bismarck, Illinois, 61814. Marshall Dean Smith. Marshall Dean Smith, 52, passed away on October 7th, 2025. He was born May 17th, 1973, in southeastern Indiana. Marshall loved his children with all his heart and loved the Lord. He had a courageous 8-year battle with cancer in which he never gave up. He will be so very missed, and there will be a celebration of life on Saturday, November 22nd at 11 a.m. with a visitation at 10 a.m. at the Go Church in Alvin, Illinois. Pastor Dan Hunt will officiate. Karen L. Kahn. Karen L. Kahn, 63, of Indianola, died Friday, November 14th, 2025, at home. Funeral services will be at noon Thursday at Robison Chapel, 103 Douglas Street in Catlin, with Pastor Steve Pearson officiating. Burial will be in Woodlawn Cemetery in Indianola, and visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon Thursday at the funeral home. Michael Hoskins. Michael Joseph, or Joe, Hoskins, 83, of Hoopston, died Monday, November 17th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. Patricia Nickerson. Patricia Ann Nickerson, 95, of Tilton, died Thursday, November 6th, 2025, at New Hope Bay Assisted Living in Bay City, Michigan. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday at Robison Chapel in Catlin, with David Martin officiating. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Wednesday at the funeral home, Robison Chapel, 103 Douglas Street in Catlin, is handling the arrangements. Jared Tarchini. Jared M. Tarchini, 42, of Danville, died Thursday, November 6th, 2025, in Los Angeles. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will follow in Hicks Cemetery, Perrysville, Indiana. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Tuesday and 10 to 11 a.m. prior to the service Wednesday at the funeral home. Robert Willis. Robert Willis, 85, of Danville, died Tuesday, November 4th, 2025, at VA Eliana Healthcare System in Danville. Bob will be cremated. Graveside services will be at 1 p.m. Friday at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville, with military honors by Dornblaser American Legion Post 203. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is handling the arrangements. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn now to a story from the News Gazette titled, Democratic Candidate Removed from Ballot Over Training Certificate. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. The lone Democrat running for Vermilion County Sheriff in 2026 says he plans to appeal the County Electoral Board's decision to remove him from the ballot. On Monday, the Electoral Board, comprised of County Clerk Robin Heffern, State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey, and Circuit Clerk Melissa Quick, voted to sustain an objection by Republican Vermilion County Board member Jerry Hawker to the nominating petitions of Democratic Sheriff's candidate Hugh H. Sands and remove his name from the 2026 primary ballot. Sands claims the vote was a foregone conclusion, as other county officials had already tried to reject his petitions before he filed them, and he had to go to the state election board, which told him the county must accept his filing. It's all politics, Sands said. Hawker said he filed the objection as a private citizen for ballot integrity. He said he's known Sands for more than 30 years and considers him a friend. Hawker's objection revolves around a law enforcement training certificate that is required for candidates seeking the office of sheriff. Sands retired from law enforcement 10 years ago after a 22-year career and has been working as a truck driver since. Lacey said politics had nothing to do with the ruling, and the issue revolves around an update made when the Safety Act was passed in 2022. The decision was made based upon the case law and the appellate court decision, she said. The law requires him to have the law enforcement training. The law changed in 2022, the Safety Act, and it added an additional requirement to run for the office of sheriff. Lacey cited a case in Cook County in which a court ruled that a candidate having a separate certificate for correctional officers, which Sands has, does not fulfill the new requirement. She said the Electoral Board agreed that the law clearly states that Sands had to have a law enforcement training certificate, not a correctional officer certificate, when he filed to be on the ballot. The law in Illinois requires strict compliance, she said. Sands said he wasn't initially aware he needed the law enforcement training certificate, and when he was a part-time police officer in the mid-1990s, he passed a state certification test that gave him a waiver from attending a training academy. He said he also worked full-time at the county jail, for which he obtained a separate correctional officer certification. If a police officer's retired, whether they've been through the academy or not, they'd be required the same training as me, he said. It's the own police training board that gave me the waiver. They're the ones who made the decision based on my training. You know, I didn't make that up. There's a history of political discrimination in this county, and this is another prime example. Prior to the board's vote, he asked that county taxpayers and registered voters be allowed to determine if he's qualified to be elected sheriff. Quick said when someone runs for an office, they are obligated to research all the requirements for that position. Sands was the third candidate who filed to succeed retiring Sheriff Pat Hartshorne, 74, who is stepping down after 36 years on the job. The other two are Republicans, Hartshorne's son Mike, a captain in the department, and John W. Thompson, a former Danville police officer and current Vermilion County 911 Center director. Those wishing to file as write-in candidates have until January 15th. The 2026 primary takes place on March 17th. And now turning back to the community brief section from the commercial news, we have the following announcements. DHS cello section to play for Lions. Gage Womack, director of the Danville High School Orchestra, will bring the cello section to play for the Danville Lions Club at their 6 p.m. meeting on Thursday, November 20th. The Lions Club meets at Spanky's Banquet Hall, located at 409 East Main Street in Danville. And the Oakwood Area Food Pantry is hosting its 12th annual 5K Turkey Trot at 9 a.m. on Saturday, November 22nd. The race will begin and end at the pantry, which is located at 202 South Scott Street in Oakwood. Participants can also run virtually. Race registration is online at myevent.com/feedoakwood and must be received by November 12th to get a race shirt and a medal. In addition to trophies, there will be a drawing for door prizes. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it has been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.